Today on the Pastor Study, we'll be looking at the mind of Christ. And we'll be turning to Philippians chapter 2 and looking at verses 5 through 8. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 right now, and we'll read down together verses 5 through 8 as we'll be looking at the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now the Apostle Paul instructs the believer in verse number 5 that he is to have the same mind as Christ did when he walked this earth. In verse number 6, Paul tells us, he says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Paul says, by the way, Christ is God. Christ Jesus is God. They are equal. They are one and the same. In fact, Paul wrote later on in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, he told us that Jesus was God manifest or revealed in the flesh. Amen. Now notice verse 7 in our passage. It begins with the word but. He says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. What Paul is saying here is, despite Christ Jesus being God, he never forgot. He did not forget why he came to this earth, to take upon himself a form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Paul is telling us that Christ had a mind of a servant, as evidenced by the two words in verse 8, humble and obedient. As Christians, my dear friends, we are to have a servant's mind like Christ did. Jesus is our example to follow in everything. And two important characteristics of a servant is humility in obedience. And Jesus displayed them throughout his entire ministry, culminating with his obedience to the Father by his death on the cross. In our study today, we want to look at three aspects of Jesus Christ, the servant. The first one we'll look at is the exclamation of a servant. The exclamation of a servant. First, I want us to listen to his words of humility. Turn over with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark in chapter number 10. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10. And I want us to look at verses 43 and 44. Notice what Jesus says. He says, but so shall it not be among you. He's talking to his disciples here. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. He was telling his disciples how to achieve greatness. You know, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, wanted Jesus to allow them to sit on his right and left hand in glory. Amen. But he said, hey, wait a minute. He says, to be great, the greatest among you is to minister to others. And the chiefest shall be servant of all. quite the opposite of today's philosophy, amen, or what the world has to say. Now notice in verse 45, as Jesus continues, he says, "For even the Son of Man," that's himself, "came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth to give, not to get. That's the philosophy of today. We're to get all that we can. But Jesus gave. He gave. And he gave. And he gave. Each time we read the Gospels, he's either healing someone, comforting someone, having compassion upon the multitudes. And it just goes on and on and on. Jesus gave his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to give and not to get. Also we read, and let's turn to the Gospel of Luke for just a moment. In Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22. In verse number 27, Jesus said, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat," you know, the one that's being served, "greater?" And he goes, he says, "But I am among you as he that serveth." Again, we're looking at the exclamation of a servant, the words of humility. Jesus tells us that he came to serve and not to sit. Far too many Christians are sitting around, idle, doing nothing for the Lord. Jesus came to serve others. If we're to have the mind of Christ, we're to serve others, not ourselves. We're to serve, not to sit, amen. Again, as we're looking at the exclamation of a servant, let's listen to his words of obedience. For this, I'll have you turn to the Gospel of John, first of all, in chapter number 5 with me, and in verse number 30 of John 5. Jesus said, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will," he says, "but the will of the Father, which hath sent me." See, Jesus came to fulfill the will of the Father. Again, in the Gospel of John, this time in chapter number 6 and verse 38, John 6, 38, Jesus says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Again, Jesus reiterates what he said in chapter 5 and verse 30. Jesus came to earth to fulfill the will of the Father. Let's go back to the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 22. In Luke 22 and verse 42, and of course, here Jesus is the night before he's to be crucified. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, saying in verse 42 of Luke 22, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He says, "Remove this cup. Your will, Father, be done, not my will." He always put the will of the Father first. And I believe what Jesus was talking about when he said this cup, as he says, "Remove this cup from me," I don't think he necessarily was talking about his death. I believe what Jesus was talking about as he was referring to the cup was the Father's wrath poured out on sin. Let's look at 2 Corinthians just for a moment, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. The Bible tells us, "For he," that's God the Father, "hath made him," God the Son, that's who he's speaking about, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, so what that's saying is Jesus, who was sinless and who knew no sin, was made sin for us. And the reason for that is that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, we know that when Jesus was crucified, the earth at the time grew very dark for a three-hour period. And while Jesus was up there during that period, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" At that point, the Father turned his back on his Son. And the reason for that is, as Jesus was being made sin for us, and God's wrath was being poured out on the Son, therefore, God the Father turned his back on the Son, because God is holy and he cannot look upon sin. And his Son was being made sin for the whole world. Amen. So first of all, we've looked at the exclamation of a servant as we're looking at the three aspects of Jesus Christ the servant. The second aspect we want to look at is the example of a servant. Let's turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter number 13. The Gospel of John, chapter number 13. And we begin reading in verses 3 through 5. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God, went in and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." So here we have the foot washing. Now we're going to drop down to verse 12 and see why Jesus was doing this. Verse 12 in John 13. "So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. And if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye might do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures might be fulfilled." Now, Jesus says right here, he says, "For I have given you an example," in verse 15, "that you should do as I have done to you." Foot washing was to be an example of humility on how a servant is to be. It wasn't given to the church as an ordinance. Amen. But Jesus gave it to his disciples and gave it to us to show humility. If we're going, he was a servant of the Father. He was humble. Amen. And he showed that humility by an example of that by washing the disciples' feet. Here the Master and the Lord of the disciples was washing their feet. Amen. Next, we want to see the obedience, the example of a servant. Let's look at his obedience and action. In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, we read in verses 7 through 18, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. What I want you to see there, in verse 17, it says, he bearing his cross. He was obedient. He bore the cross. He didn't say, I don't want to do this, Father. Here, after all, we have the Son of God. And he could have prayed down 12 legions of angels and squashed from the men taking him there in the garden. But no, he was obedient, bearing his cross. That's the problem today. Not many Christians want to bear their own cross. They want to have someone else bear it for them, amen? But the servant is to bear his cross. In fact, we're told in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, we read earlier, that Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's how far his obedience went, all the way, even to death. He finished the job that God the Father had sent him to do. He didn't quit in the middle. He finished the job. And as Christians, as servants, we're to be obedient to the Father's will, whatever that may be. And that may be even to death. We're told concerning Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it said that he endured the cross, despising the shame. We see not only did he have the words of humility and the words of obedience, but he gave us the example of a servant. He gave us the example of humility in the foot washing. He gave us the example of total obedience to the Father, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amen. Then we want to see number three, as we look at the three aspects of the servant Jesus Christ. We see the exclamation of a servant, the example of a servant. Now we want to look at the exaltation of a servant. As a result of being humble and obedient, let's look at the results. First of all, as we look at the exaltation of a servant, look at the exaltation of the position of Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, in verse number 19, Mark 16, 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto him, he was received up into heaven. So this is the ascension. Amen. And then notice what it says. And he sat on the right hand of God. So we see that his position had been exalted. He went up to heaven, the third heaven, to sit down on the right hand of the Father. What a privileged position. Only because he was humble and he was obedient to the Father's will. And our position will be exalted someday. Amen. We're going to rule and reign with him if we suffer for Christ now. Amen. Now notice, not only was the position of Jesus Christ exalted, but also his person. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 2 for just a moment. Philippians chapter number 2, and let's read verses 9 through 11, and we'll see how the person of Jesus Christ, as a result of him being humble and obedient, is and will be exalted. We'll pick it up in Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So every knee someday is going to bow, to Jesus, and every tongue is going to confess him, is Lord, as Lord to the glory of God. Now, you have a choice. Either you do it now, voluntarily, or you're going to do it later, but later is going to be too late, amen, because you won't have a chance after you're dead to be saved. But we see then how not only the position of the servant, Jesus Christ, is exalted, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for you and I, but also his person, amen. There'll come a day, a time, and a place where everyone will bow their knee to Jesus and glorify him and confess him as Lord to the glory of God. So not only will the position of Jesus Christ, it has been exalted in his person, but also the power, exaltation of a servant, his power. Look with me in Revelation chapter 5, and we'll read verses 11 through 13 to see the power, the exaltation of the power that's given to the servant. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the numbers of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Every creature which is in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor, glory and power. There's that word power again. He's received the power. Be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. So we see the exaltation of a servant here, Jesus Christ, his position, his person, and his power. Now, one day, those who have been God's servants down here will be exalted and glorified up there in heaven. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Peter. So if you'll be God's servant now, amen, then someday you'll be exalted and glorified up in the third heaven. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, what he says, if the Bible says, if you humble yourself in the sight of God, in due time, you're going to be exalted. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. There's an exaltation as a result of you and I being humble servants and obedient servants to the Lord. Notice also in Revelation chapter 3 what it says with me in verse number 21. Revelation 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Let's turn over to, we're going to rule and reign with Christ on this earth if you suffer with Christ now, or suffer for Christ now. We read in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, it says in verse 12, If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now some will teach that this means you can lose your salvation. Of course, that's ridiculous. In the age of grace, you're sealed until the day of redemption. But what it's saying here is very simple. If you suffer for Christ now, you're going to reign with him during the millennium. But if you don't, then he's going to deny you the reign. You're not going to lose your salvation, but you won't reign with him if you don't suffer. Then we see in Colossians chapter number 3 a wonderful promise. A wonderful promise for the Christian. Amen. The Bible says, Colossians chapter 3 verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is he your life? He should be, my dear friend, if he's not. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. It says he's going to appear. Believe the word of God. The word of God promises you that Jesus Christ will appear, regardless of those that believe that he won't or say that he won't. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear. Glorious promise. Not only is he going to appear, but you're going to appear with him. Also appear with him. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. See, you're going to be glorified. Amen. In our study, we have examined the mind of Christ, which we saw is a mind of a servant. In the mind of a servant, we saw is characterized by humility and obedience. And Jesus Christ has gave us a wonderful example as he walked this earth. Amen. To follow. We are to be humble and obedient servants to the Lord. Whatever he would have us to do. In our study, we have heard and we have seen in Christ the exclamation of a servant, the example of a servant, and the exaltation of a servant. My question to you, my dear friend, is do you possess the mind of Christ? Do you possess the servant's mind? It's a humble mind. It's an obedient mind. Would you rather be getting from others, or would you rather be giving to others? Would you rather be sitting, or would you rather be serving? Are you denying self, taking up your cross and following Christ? Or are you satisfying the flesh, leaving your cross and following the world, the flesh, and the devil? Will you someday be exalted at the judgment seat of Christ because you endured your cross down here? Or will you hang your head in shame because you were not the servant of God you should have been? It's not too late. It's not too late to be the servant of God that you should be, humble and obedient to the will of God for your life.